To quote the scholar and political theorist John Shah, the future is not a result of choices among alternative paths offered by the present, but a place that is created. Created first in the mind and will, created next in activity. The future is not some place we are going to, but one we are creating. From the schoolboy dreaming of big adventures to the scientist envisioning groundbreaking discoveries, we all care to imagine what the future will bring. Many people have attempted to predict the future, others to mould and control it. But what do we really know of the future? How does the past inform it? And what educated guesses can we make about the shape of things to come? To discuss these questions and more, I'm joined by Stephen Merchant, award-winning writer and graduate of the University of Warwick.
Hello.
And Carl Pilkington, fucking Hmong.
Alright.
One prediction for the future, Carl, is from an academic study, what the world would be like in about 75 years from now. And a big prediction they're sort of sure of is that androgyny will rule. There'll be so little difference between men and women, apart from the biology, economically, socially, it won't matter who the biggest breadwinner is, that's already being phased out. If you're in a traditional heterosexual male-female couple, it'll be who stays home, who earns the most or whatever. It won't be governed by gender. And that's getting less and less anyway, as it is now. But soon you won't even need a female or a man in your life. You'll just need the egg or sperm. Mm. And you'll be able to have any coupling you want or not. Thoughts, Carl?
That isn't what I've heard.
What were you heard?
I heard that.
So you read an academic study, Rick, but yeah. Let's find out what Carl's been reading.
I heard we're all gonna go ugly.
Different point, though, isn't it?
That's a completely different point. That, not listening to a word Ricky said.
No, it's just if we all sort of go ugly, that will sort the population.
He gets an extra syllable in the word ugly. 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 Yeah.
So that just sorts the population out, because people aren't sort of having it away, left, right, and centre.
Well, then that doesn't sort of, what do you mean?
Sorry, Rick, I don't understand what the hell he said there.
Are you saying, because everyone's ugly, everyone won't want to have it away more with the ugly person?
Yeah.
Okay, I still don't, you seem to understand what he's talking about, Rick, I'm still confused.
But what he thinks is that if we're all ugly, then we still have this strange paradigm of beauty that won't exist, so we won't fancy anyone as much.
No, they'll still sort of fancy, because at the end of the day, we're animals, aren't we?
Yeah.
So we'll still have it away, but not as much as they'd like to do now, because it's all based on looks.
Sorry, but what's this got to do with what
Ricky said? What's this world like? Describe a typical town or countryside.
It's exactly, right, imagine London, you've still got the gherkin, you've still got the big wheel. It's just everyone's ugly.
Right, and they're doing all the same jobs, are they?
The world's got to carry on.
What do they look like? What's ugly?
Just imagine, like, have you ever seen anyone when you've just gone, look at that.
Yeah.
Right, well, like that.
Yeah, but hold on, it's ugly by today's standards, is it? So I throw forward to 75 years, you'll go, oh, everyone's what we call ugly. But what's happened to society? What do they think of everyone? They won't suddenly go, oh, isn't it annoying? We've got uglier. Because it's not like a strict...
No, because we have got better looking, haven't we? If I look back now...
Yeah.
...at a school photo...
Yeah.
...you look at my class and you go, what was going on then? Wouldn't you can't tell the difference between some of the girls and the blokes.
No, but that's not true, because...
It is, honestly. You look at it and you see
fashion and nutrition. And I see that, yeah. When I see an old episode of Bullseye, I think, Jesus, the men look like rakes with no teeth and a moustache. Yeah. And they're bald with their hair down like a paedophile. And he goes, now how old are you? And I'm like, 52. 52 goes, I'm 22. He goes, what?
Yeah, but that's more because of the sort of people that used to go on Bullseye. I mean, you know, Paul Newman was never going to pop on Bullseye.
No, exactly. Exactly.
You know, because he was actually a plumber from, Essex.
And then think of the people that he grew up with, some of them live in holes now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think the class of Pilkey 1982 doesn't really count. When he said, we've got better looking, I thought he was going to talk about cavemen. Not his school photo. I mean, what happened there? There's been no evolution in that time. What are you talking about, Carl?
We've got better looking now. Aren't we?
I wonder if he's confused it with the paradigms of of beauty have changed, haven't they? So in the '50s, Marilyn Monroe was considered, you know, very desirable. Whereas that body shape on women,
yeah,
more recently
that's what
has
I said,
become
it's
has become less. You know, there's yeah. lots of skinny women are seen as a paradigm of beauty. But so that has maybe changed.
But we will change.
Yeah,
probably
we'll change.
Not in 75 years.
I mentioned before about your little finger. There'll come a time when that'll go. I've said, I've watched it. I've kept an eye on what my little finger's doing. Sometimes it does nothing. It never helps out. All the others are grabbing all the stuff. That one just sort of sits there watching. So you could get rid of that, and I think that will go in evolution.
Think of the books he could have read when he was doing that, when he was monitoring his little finger.
I've been watching my little finger. But again, it's what you mean. Like, 75 years is nothing. The only thing that changes in 75 years is trend, fashion, economics. The gene pool doesn't change unless there's been some sort of really weird mutation due to an external force that I don't know. For things of science fiction where we all accidentally drank plutonium and got three eyes and one leg. It doesn't happen that fast. I've told you before, if you shaved a caveman, he's basically us. He's basically us.
Well, he's basically Carl.
Yeah. But... you know, it's the little finger will be, let me tell you, millions of years.
I think what's more interesting about the future, Carl, is the fact that technology integrated with humans will be fascinating. So, for instance, they're talking, you know, about the fact that in the future we may even be able to have chips in our head that allow us to access the internet. Or an equivalent of it, directly, mentally.
Not French fries.
But hang on though, at what point are we us then?
Yeah, this is good.
Go on.
No, because if I can go on the internet at any time, then that's gonna know more than me.
What does that mean?
Okay.
When I don't know an answer to something now, which is a lot of stuff.
Really?
Go on.
You watch University Challenge, yeah. And the stuff them kids on that know. I just think, where have they stored that? Where's that gone in their head? Mm. How have they left that somewhere and it's just sat there waiting to be used? For me, if something doesn't get used within a time period, that's it.
But again,
it's forgotten
again,
about.
Again, okay, that's application and training and all that.
I think.
But basically, you've got about the same hardware
I haven't,
as those people.
Honest to God, I haven't. I know I haven't.
Your brain capacity is
it's not the
huge.
Same as theirs. It's not the same.
Well, you might not be what's considered as academically intelligent as them, but again, an awful lot of it is, you know, nurture more than nature. Your brain's good. Your brain is up there. Don't worry about that.
Well, it isn't. But listen, so what I'm saying is, if I want to know the answer to something, I go on the internet.
Yeah, right.
Now, if I've got a chip in my head with Google on it,
yeah,
I'm never going to use my head. I'll just be forever on Google.
I'm never gonna use my head!
Well, I'm not, because
what do you
what's
think
the
your
point?
Head is, though?
Because I'm gonna get it wrong. The chances are I'll get it wrong, so divert that. It's like saying...
No, you can't bypass the brain straight to Google. When so you're having a chat socially, it's not like they're going, all right, Carl, how are you? And you're not there. You're asleep and Google's talking. I think you'll find that they're...
No, only
do you want to see naked ladies?
No, only for questions, though, that I don't know. But what I'm saying is, because I don't know a lot of the answers, I'll just say, forget it, leave it connected to Google.
So
then I'm not me anymore.
Well, what are you doing? Where's you gone?
I'm looking at Google.
So it is you.
No, but what Steve just said is, we'll have a chip in our head.
Right.
That can access the internet.
Right.
So why bother using
But you're
my own
still
knowledge?
The go-between. You, Carl, are the go-between between the internet and whatever your
but
mouth says.
You can't
says.
Beat the internet.
Yes,
it knows everything.
No, you're accessing the information like it was part of your brain capacity, but you're still processing and using that information.
But hold on, where does Google get the information from in the first place?
Someone on one of them bright people on
a
University
human,
Challenge
a human
put
being.
It on.
Yeah, a human being.
So, but I'm going to get lazier. I don't watch the University Challenge and go, I want to be like them. I'm going to start reading books. I've accepted I'm never going to be like them. I can't play along. All I tend to do is I say to Suzanne, right, so every question now, I'm going to have egg as the answer. And I'm hoping that one day...
What an amazing game! What an amazing because, intellectual
oh
pursuit
God,
that is!
What a lucky lady.
What does Suzanne say to that?
Well, she just sees if it works. She just plays along, and then I'm saying, oh, it might be this one or whatever.
I love that, because I remember once, it was about 5 years ago, Carl and Suzanne were round near Christmas, and me and Jane were there. We were playing different parlour games, like charades and that. And then one game, you have to do that thing where you have to beat, and you have to do animals, and you have to go, first one is A, then B. So you say aardvark, next one goes beaver, next one goes cat. It came to Carl, he panicked, and he went egg.
And he was on F. So you're sat there watching University Challenge, and on a good night, it's, you know, well-known jeweller of Fabergé's, well-known for his jewel-encrusted egg. Humpty Dumpty is commonly pictured as a living egg.
That's what I'm saying. If you keep saying the same thing, eventually, it's like a broken watch.
Carl Pilkington's head looks like hay.
Yeah.
I've just got more chance of getting it right.
Sure.
But also, he told me when he plays University Challenge, he said he's given up ever trying to get an answer. So now he tries to guess who's going to answer the question.
Another great game. Suzanne's roped in on.
How'd you do with that?
That's not.
I'm normally alright on that.
There's gotta be something else.
There's another evolution thing though. When you watch brainy people on that, or wearing glasses.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? We are reading too much. We're wearing the eyes out. And that, you can't argue with that. Because the evidence is there. Most people on University Challenge, which is a quiz show if people don't have that in the country, it's the brainiest quiz of all time, innit? To be honest, I don't know why they don't go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or something. Because they'll get a better prize than what do they win on University Challenge?
Because they'll be stitched up by a question of, who's in Hollyoaks. It will be the, yeah.
But that's the snobbery as well.
It'll be what character did Andy Lincoln play in this life? And they won't get it and you'll go, egg, and you'll be correct.
But that's the thing, innit? This snobbery on, like, braininess. The way that if you're a specialist in I don't know what something.
Well, no, don't help him. Go on, finish. Just you've started a conversation. You're halfway through a sentence. You've got a point.
You can't bail out now.
Okay.
Say if you're a specialist in
go on
Latin tattoos.
Latin tattoos!
Don't know what that is.
What, Latin tattoos? I didn't know you wanted something so specific.
So that's a tattoo you have on your arm with Cogito Ergo Sum underneath, or is it a tattoo?
Just any sort of, well, it's the only reason Latin's still alive, isn't it?
Right.
Right.
Tattooists. So, you go on Mastermind.
Yeah.
And people will go, oh, he's clever, isn't he? Mm. You got 40 correct in 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, if you go on and say, any questions, about Coronation Street between 1990 and 1992, people go, oh, he's a bit of a knob. Because there's a snobbery to education.
Yes, there is.
But a question is still a question, isn't it?
Well, to a certain degree, although, yeah, that's fine. But there's no application to knowing who played Ina Sharples, whereas presumably there is something useful in,
well, not perhaps Latin tattoos, because none of us have established exactly what that is. But if you have knowledge of, you know, astrophysics, obviously that's going to be, you know, as Ricky says, it's going to take more application to become an expert on that than watching Coronation Street twice a week.
But it's still information that you've had to learn.
You've not learned it, though, have you? You've just sat down in front of the telly and it's just piped into your brain very directly and very easily and enjoyably. Let's say the people working on that microchip that one day you'll have in your brain, are they not doing something more interesting and valuable for society than the Coronation Street fella?
No, because Coronation Street is, that fella who knows a lot about it, at least he's enjoying his time watching that.
Oh, well, I'm saying he's not enjoying it.
So he's enjoying it, but, you know, a brain in a jar can be enjoying it, if it doesn't know it's a brain in a jar.
Right. So what are you asking me?
But we were talking.
Didn't seem a difficult point what we were saying.
What I mean is.
Okay, one more go. What do you mean?
The chip in the brain. Isn't part of filling your head with stuff the journey of filling it with that stuff?
What do you mean?
Whereas if you had a baby, the baby pops out, it cries a bit, they go, right, we've got, what do you want your baby to be interested in? And you say, I want it to be a plumber. You go, right, when it's two, we're going to stick a plumber chip in its head.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not right, is it?
No. No. I don't know why you chose plumber, either.
Well, we still need plumbing.
Yeah, I know we do, but...
It's odd that they would have chosen plumbing. They've got such... such kind of small ambitions for their
It's what his granddad did, and they want the sort of the thing to go through the business. They own a plumbing business. They want the baby to carry on the business of the plumbing.
They want the baby to be able to plumb.
It goes on now where parents force the kids into riding horses. And you see the kid without the parents about, and you go, do you like horses? And they go, no, not really, being forced to get an horse. Yeah. Can't stand them.
Yeah.
And people would go, that's wrong. The kid should have the freedom to decide if he wants to get on a horse or not.
That's right, yeah.
Well, what about this chip in the head?
But you've made this
up. You've made the scenario up.
They're not putting chips in babies' heads.
I thought you said they were.
No.
I
think Steve's right, and I don't know, I haven't read it, but I imagine he's saying it's the next step in convenience with technology and an interface between the human and a research tool or fun. You know, computers went from being the size of a room to a thing you can wear on your watch. So the next step may be, you won't forget your palm top, you won't forget your iPod, you won't forget your laptop. It's in there, it's an interface.
I know, but it makes us lazy.
But you straight away thought that now that it went to some sort of weird laboratory where it's all white and there's just a doctor and everyone's in a silver suit, right? And they go, we're removing your the self. We're removing the self and putting in chip. You are now computer boy.
Yeah,
but I want to watch Coronation Street. Well, you won't in a few seconds. I hate Coronation Street, me.
Carl, it's not a question of it's not that Google is now Carl. It looks like Carl, but it's just spamming, you know, little pop-ups about offers you can buy and cheap holidays here and there.
He's not the man I'm married.
Right, look at it like this.
Jesus.
Look, I see it all the time now.
Go on.
You go, where are you going to someone? And they go, I'm going to Dorset.
Aye.
Oh, aye. What road are you taking? Dunno, just pop on the sat nav. Now, that's a start, isn't it?
Okay. Let's act that out with me, okay? I'm going away for the weekend, Carl.
Are you?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Dorset.
Oh, yeah. Are you getting there?
Car.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, which way are you going?
Dunno. Why do you want to know?
Well, just making a friendly chat. Just, you know, I'm interested in geography. Which way are you going?
Well, I don't know, really. I've got a sat nav in my car, and I'm getting there. And what do you mean? What?
A bit lazy, isn't it?
Well, I'm not a pigeon. I don't.
Have you got an A to Z?
Well yeah, but on a computer with the A to Z. What's the difference between looking at an A to Z and?
It's a bit lazy, though.
Not really. No. Why? Why is it any different that I've got it computer? Aye, so I can go along. That's a bit dangerous, isn't it? It's a bit... Don't go to A to Z when you're driving along.
Clive, who are you talking to? Because we need to hit the road, we need to get going.
Well, is this this fucking idiot who wants to know what road I'm taking, which is a fucking boring thing to ask anyway.
Sorry, who is this twat? Because we really got to get going.
He's a fucking dickhead. I think he's an A to Z salesman by the door.
Just tell him we're using the sat nav, because it's the quickest, most efficient way of doing it.
It's the quickest, most efficient way of doing it.
No, but look what's happened.
Who the fuck are you?
Would Columbus found America? If he had a sat nav.
Yes!
No, he wouldn't.
He'd have put in America and he would have taken it
He only found it because he got lost. Now, if everybody
Hold on, hold on. How would an undiscovered country be on a sat nav?
No.
Go on.
But I just
What's
mean.
The difference between the sat nav and the map in that regard?
Because I've found some lovely little cafes on roads I've never been on.
Instantly gone from finding a continent to a little cafe.
I love that.
Little greasy.
I am off to discover the unknown world. Where are you going? Well, I don't know yet. It's the unknown world. What are you taking? Just a boat. Like, lazy swim, you cunt. I love the fact that he's so Luddite now, he's annoyed at the sat-nav. I mean, you'd have probably given Columbus a hard time. Oh, got a compass. Don't you know where north is, you twat?
I just think there's something in being lost. I never feel lost. I just think, I've had a diversion. Because you find new things. I'm forever going down.
Suzanne's asking the French peasant where
just think, you know, Columbus.
All right, what's the most interesting thing you found when lost?
Like I say, I found a shop that was like a fancy dress shop.
Amazing.
Do you need fancy dress stuff?
Dressed up as Columbus. Went and bought a sat nav. Went to Dorset for the weekend.
You never go out. Why do you need a fancy dress shop? That sounds like the one thing you would hate is fancy dress.
Yeah, but I like looking at the. They have like a space helmet in there.
Right. So you found a fancy dress shop. Where are you supposed to be going? That you had time to get sidetracked and go in a.
I think I was going to a meeting. just cut.
Amazing, that's the last time.
So I don't want to get lost.
Yeah, you don't want to get lost,
no,
do you?
Because I always give myself loads of time because I get lost a lot. I always give myself
a get a sat nav.
No, I'm just saying that's how you find little treats along the way, and you, next time you pass it, or next time someone says, "Do you know where the fancy dress shop is?" You can go, "Yeah, I do."
You go, "I have no idea because I was lost. No, I didn't know where it was."
No, but normally I
I'm not going to tell you, lazy cunt. Have you got an AZ? Oh, that's harsh.
Yeah, find it yourself, you lazy twat.
Well, I might get lost. Good. You might find another one.
It just goes back to the chip thing in the head. I think you've got to learn along the way. We can't get lazy. We can't have chips in the head knowing how to plumb. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And making mistakes. If you make a mistake, I've done some wiring, got a little shock. Won't happen again.
It will. I've seen that experiment with you before.
So,
what have you learned? You keep going on about all this learning. What have you learned?
What have you learned? Okay, sum up mankind's foray into the future. I want this. This will be the introduction to a book about the future. It will then be read in 100 years' time and go, Carl Pilkington was the most prophetic genius that's ever walked the earth. These are his words from 2010.
Just some predictions.
Just sum it up. I believe. Start off with, I, Carl Pilkington, believe that mankind in the future will. Okay. Start off
and
with
then
that.
What?
Sentence.
Just have like a top five.
Well, no. Just.
Well, maybe just predictions.
Just predict.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So and then a little. And then a little thing to remember. And remember ye this. So I, Carl Pilkington, predict that in the future mankind will. Start off with that. Start off with that sentence. I've given you that one.
All right. I'm Carl. And, the future.
He's already gone off-road.
It's a scary place. But the future's gonna happen.
Mm.
Right? There's no getting away from that.
Yep.
Mm.
Mm. Okay, your predictions are...
Well, we're all,
It's not a soundbite.
Keep going.
Space. I've got to think about. I don't want to get it
think,
wrong.
Okay. Think first. Think and then say it. Okay. Starting from now, these words of wisdom will be inscribed on a wall of a museum one day. Proceed.
Wall of a lavatory, will it?
I think trousers are going to be stopped being made. Just because you see kids now, they've got pants around their ankles. They're going further and further down. So I think they're that's evolution, just getting rid of the trouser.
Right.
It's just dropping naturally.
That's the evolution of the trouser, because it's dropping incrementally down the arse.
You see now, you can see kids' underpants. So they're just dropping.
Yeah.
I think they'll get to a point when they just don't bother wearing them anymore.
Right.
Prediction one! Okay, that's an amazing one!
They'll stop making trousers in the future, okay.
We're going to get weaker. That's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
They used to say, you know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Now they're saying eat five fruits.
Right.
So we've definitely, that's evidence. You can't argue with that. I probably put that first because the girl is right. What's number two? So swap that round.
Okay, that's number
Give
one.
Give them the pants second.
Yep.
I'm going to die. I'm gonna die.
Okay,
they
number
used
three.
To say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. They used to say.
They used to say, pull your trousers up. Now they say, put them down, you can.
I've never heard such fucking drivel.
Number three.
Right, number three.
Oh, the scholars are now waiting with bated breath when they find this old scroll, and they go, ooh, what can number three be?
I reckon we'll blend all our food.
Oh God!
No, because
he thought, man, he was going to make a point about race. Yeah. I never thought we'll blend all our food.
like they do for babies, you mean?
Just I just think when you think about all the stuff we eat now, cavemen chewing on big lumps of meat.
Yeah.
We had wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
Now they say we'll take them out. You're not using them.
Yeah.
Why not using them? Because your food's soft.
Yeah.
Sorbet.
Yeah.
Soups.
Yeah.
you know, everything's softer, isn't it? When you get an avocado, yeah. they say, is it soft? Everyone's squeezing the food before they buy it.
Yeah.
No one wants anything tough.
Yeah.
So I think chewing is a sort of thing of the past. We haven't got the time to chew. Everyone's like, hurry up, eat that. You don't have to go out for dinner with Ricky. He's like, hurry up. Like, I'm still eating
it. Well, he does blend his food, I think. Okay, so blending food.
Great.
I reckon, what else do we do now? So I've done teeth. Done trousers. I've come up with this idea. These sort of like glasses, but you can live wherever you want to live.
What do you mean?
Everything that's real, you're not looking at that anymore. This is really the future. I'd put this at number 10. This is like...
We're only doing 5, fuck me.
So what you mean is that you look through the glasses and instead of seeing what the real world, you see a tropical
paradise.
What you
want to see. So if you're a young kid and you like the idea of living in the urban ghetto,
yeah.
with all graffiti on the walls and that, you can see that.
Yeah, but hold on, are you walking around? Because you'll be bumping into stuff, won't you?
No.
Why not?
No, what you mean is that the stuff that's there in the real world is being digitally reimagined in your glasses, so what was a nice country lane is suddenly now an urban ghetto.
It's got loads of graffiti on it.
Sure.
Absolutely mental, pointless, will never work. Absolutely one of the maddest things you've ever said.
Really weird, that one.
Yeah,
it could be done. I reckon it could be easily
done.
Why
would it be? Okay, last one, that's number 4. That's a load of bollocks. So what's number 5?
There'll be more letters in the alphabet.
Why?
Because we're running out of words now, aren't we?
No, we're not running out of words.
No, we are. Though. We are definitely running out of words.
It's using the letters we've already got and making new words.
Yeah, we're making.
No, but we haven't got enough now.
Of course we have. Have you any idea? You could have a word with 9 L's before you run out.
Yeah, and they do in Wales and what have you. That's because their alphabet is shorter than ours. They've only got something like 24 letters over there.
Right.
But they go mental with the L. Now what we do is, we've got 26 letters, but we are now struggling.
We're not struggling at all. We are. We're not.
Stupid. Boswallocks. In shampoo. Now there's a word where they've gone, well, we've invented something here. What? We've got something we're putting in shampoo.
Boswallocks?
Boswallocks.
Have you just made that up?
No, it's not. They go, new with Boswallocks and ceramide R. Yeah, but that's a new word because they have to, they come with a new word.
But it's a terrible word.
Why?
Boswallocks.
It's another word!
Is that real? You've missed that out,
have you? I am. That's a real word.
Yeah.
Now this is what I'm saying. So years ago when they came up with all the sensible ingredients,
go on.
Sodium. That sounds all right.
He likes sodium. He doesn't like Boswallocks.
It sounds like something like an ingredient.
Well, yeah, but that's because you're used to it.
Is this a load of Boswallocks? Are you winding me up?
No, it's real.
It's real, and that's because 26 letters. We've wasted them years ago. We went mental with the, you know, pneumonia, sticking a P on it, and there's loads of words where you go, what's that letter doing in there? Whereas now, they can't do that. They've gone, whoa, pull that back, why is that letter there? And now you've got stuff like abbreviations and stuff.
Yeah.
Let's not waste letters. Let's just control it a little bit. Cars are called things like, you know, GTI or something, because they're going, well, I can't think of a word to call this. So they're giving them letters. Think of a word now. Think of a word that hasn't been made up.
What do you mean?
Well, tell me a word that hasn't been made up.
All words have been made up.
No, one that hasn't. That could be used. Say if I invent something now to put in shampoo, what can I call it? Quick.
Cranberry.
No, it's too close to that. No, we can't get that past the advertising person.
Scrimpton.
Scrimpton.
Yeah.
It seemed like Ricky 2 goes and you accepted his second one.
Well, I think we've sorted out the future.
Wow. Since, obviously, the days of Nostradamus, there's been many people who've tried to foresee the future. Carl, I'm not sure if you're familiar, but there's endless, you know, predictions. Apparently there are other planets that may collide with ours. You know, there's some scientific basis on this. And obviously, I don't know if you've seen the posters for that recent film, 2012. Well, that's based on this notion of some kind of Mayan calendar, which supposedly predicts the end of the world as being 2012. But if you knew with certainty that today was the end of the world, how would you spend that final day? I mean, this seems weird to me, but I'd like to experience a lot of the extremes of existence. So, for instance, I've always wanted to smash up a bar. Do you know what I mean? It's strange, but I've always wanted the exhilaration of just smashing all those bottles, like you see in a film.
But would you enjoy it as much, knowing that you're gonna die in 8 hours?
I don't know, I suppose it's the sense of abandon, you know? I mean, maybe I'd murder a person. You know, wow. Just to see, you know, I don't know, but I think I'd probably go mental.
Because that's
I've always been a very reserved person, you know? I've never got into a fight, I've never caused a rumpus.
Yeah, but that's a worrying thought, because, we don't have to have the end of the world for it to be the end of your world, because a lot of people know that they're terminally ill, so they don't go around smashing up bars and killing people.
But I suppose I know there'll be no repercussions ultimately, because the next day everyone's gone, yeah, so there's not going to be mourning families.
But then how dare you deprive that person of his last 8 hours or 10 hours of life?
I don't care, because it's the last day on Earth.
Well, that's
so
true.
I know the moral guilt that I'll feel is over in a few hours.
Morality isn't relative just to repercussion, is it? Because
no, but the point
is, you can do things without repercussion. But often people say, you know, what would you do it if you never got caught, or would you do it if, you know, there is repercussions for that person, as grave as they might be. Just because you feel that it's no big deal either way, that they're only going to live another 8 hours, they might feel differently. And you're saying, well, you won't care because you won't be around. But then, why do people care about their loved ones when they won't be around? Why do people get a will ready?
Because my point is that they know that those people will continue to live for an indeterminate amount of time.
So you do care about the other person's
feelings,
then?
Of course I do. Oh, no, of course I do. But my point is, knowing that everyone is going to be wiped off the face of the earth the following day, all those repercussions are no longer quite the same.
I'd find it hard to divorce myself from my morality that's ingrained just because it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, but, I mean, I honestly, to me, it seems that we're approaching just the end of all things. And so I'm saying that there's something about the fact that we're all going to end that somehow seems very liberating.
What would you do?
I've always wanted to kick a duck up the arse.
Obviously, the future is relative. Us talking now, the future is one thing, the past is another. But to someone in the past, we are in the future. So, Carl, if you could go back into any era, okay, you are what you are now, you are you as you sit there now, your age, with all your memories and all your input and all your advantages on ages gone by, and all your advantages over people gone by, where would you go? What would you do? Don't worry about ramifications, like if you squash a butterfly, you come back here and we're all speaking a different language and...
Yeah, but I don't believe all that.
Of course you should.
They should have picked something better than a butterfly. The thing about if you kill a butterfly, there's a volcano somewhere.
Right.
There.
Okay, what did that noise mean?
It's just passing the buck, isn't it? It's kind of like blaming a butterfly. Like, they only live about a day. So you blame it and it's dead anyway and there's no evidence left. It's a stupid argument.
Is that the theory? Is that the theory that you're blaming a butterfly for a volcano? I'm not sure that's it, is it?
Yeah, it wafts its wings and it causes...
When a butterfly wafts, if you stop the waffery, then the whole world has changed because there was no waft on a certain day. Okay, but that means that everything's part of the causal web. It's a model for determinism. So things do, yeah, of course things have an effect on everything else.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's a bad example, the butterfly doing its wings.
Well, no.
Something...
That butterfly might have flown in through a car window and frightened someone and they crashed.
Use a wasp.
Why is that preferable?
Because you do panic. I've been in a car when there's a wasp knocking about. It's terrifying. I can see how that could cause a disaster. But a butterfly, you just go open the other window.
I love that you've won him over to that theory now, just by substituting a butterfly and a wasp. Let me think back to perhaps when you were teenager, or even before when you were growing up. You had visions, I suppose, of your own personal future and how that would play out. How you could change the way you lived your life in order to affect the future. I mean, I'm very lucky in some regards in that one of my ambitions was always to be involved with comedy.
Yeah.
And I was very clear-sighted about that, and I was lucky that I've managed to achieve that. A lot of people don't even know what they want from their future.
Well, the other thing is that when you dream of where you'll be in 20 years' time, you don't change the future. You don't change the buildings and you just think of yourself sort of richer, having a happier life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
And also, I was always slightly more handsome in the future. Like, I kept imagining I would grow a little more handsome. People kept saying, my grandmother would keep telling me, you know, you'll fill out when you fill out a bit. She was obsessed with me filling out. This is why she would feed me endlessly. The idea that somehow if I was less gangly.
Yeah, it worked with me though.
Yeah, I filled out.
Yeah. It's funny because, I still forget what I look like now in the present.
Yeah.
In my head, I still look like I used to look. Then I catch a little glimpse of myself in the shop window and go, who's that fat old? Oh. No. You know what I mean? I'm so much better.
But you did have a lot, you've journeyed a long way. I mean, you, good looking lad, and you are, I mean, it's preposterous.
Mm.
I mean, everyone I work with or meet who's seen a picture of you as a teenager doesn't understand it. I mean, I pretty much look the same, you know what I mean? I haven't changed much. I'm still a constant disappointment to myself in a way, you know? Mm. I mean, I put on a tuxedo, that's the best I'm ever gonna look, and I don't look like James Bond.
Yeah.
Whereas you at least had a moment where you looked around. I mean, it's Jane I feel sorry for. Because, I mean, she did not sign up for this.
Well, we've all
no,
changed.
No, I've seen pictures of her in the past. She ain't changed much.
No, I don't mean that.
Whereas
I mean, we've all changed. We all changed. Carl used to have hair.
Yeah, but you by your own admission, had it for long. You didn't have it hair for long, did you? You
no,
started
it wasn't.
Going bald
it wasn't. Didn't want to hang around my hair. It was never. I've told you, it didn't feel needed, so it went. I never did anything with it. It was hair of a Chinaman, wasn't it? Even the hairdresser said. He said, you can do nothing with this. So what do you mean? He said, it's just too, it's sort of limsy.
Limsy? Sorry, was that's a-
Limp or flimsy, I reckon.
Well, no, that limsy is a Chinaman.
Limsy.
Gave his name to the limp hair, of the Chinese.
So you think your hair bailed on you because it was not getting treated well enough?
I think that's true. I think that's how it works. But yeah, I know what you mean. I sort of think about if I've changed and that, but I don't think I have that much.
Mm.
Still have the same sort of thoughts. I like olives now, which I didn't like probably 3 years ago.
Right, wow.
But you can, if you eat four in a row, you get a taste for them, and I thought, go on, then I'll have five. And I thought, yeah, they're alright, these. So that's different, but other than that, I mean, it's-
So what were your dreams and ambitions when you were young?
Didn't have any.
Right.
It was kind of,
5 years old, what do you want to be? What are your thoughts for the future?
I didn't worry. At 5 years old, you're not worrying about work and that.
10. What's your hopes and fears of all these years? I met in thee tonight.
I wasn't worrying about work till about 13, 14. Just thinking, right, you know, people who are new had left school. They weren't getting work. And I was thinking, oh, I don't want to be like that. That's when I did boxing. You know, that I could have gone down that route.
Mm.
Got into boxing, didn't I?
Mm. How many fights do you have?
Don't know, about 3 or 4.
Yeah.
How long is it? When does brain damage kick in?
I guess it can. Guess it can happen almost instantly. I mean,
must have been
part of it.
Were you really? Did you really get a bad beating on one of those fights?
Yeah, Leroy gave us a right good clackering.
Mm. Clackering. Yeah, the thing is, your jab was a bit limsy, but Leroy's was clackering.
Then there was the dancing.
I don't remember this. Wait, what, break dancing?
Well, I did that. I did a bit of body popping.
Yeah. But did you ever really think that you might do this in the future?
You never know, do you?
But did you, at the time, do you remember thinking, oh, I wouldn't mind doing this professionally?
Well, I must have thought that for me to go, well, let's try and join, you know, Twiggy's dance club and all that. And, my mum and dad always sort of, you know, if you want to give it a go, give it a go. With the boxing, you know, my dad was saying, right, I'll get you the proper shoes and that, and my mum's like, don't bother getting in them yet. Let's see if he sticks at it for like 4 months, because they were about £30 for
the
shoes.
Let him carry on in my furry slippers.
Then with the dancing, it was the same thing. I said, oh, I need some leg warmers and that. And,
these tights are just as good, come on.
No,
pop on your nan's tights.
My dad gave me, he cut, like, the sleeves off a shirt.
Amazing.
And that were your leg warmers.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But it's funny, when you're a kid, it don't bother you.
But surely cut them off a jumper.
No, yeah. I don't know why. I know it looked daft. I had cuffs on leg warmers.
That's amazing.
But when you're
that's
a kid,
amazing.
What did they you think roll them up.
It must have looked Lawrence Lewin and Bowen doing a handstand.
But then, you know, that didn't last long, and then my dad, you know, I was getting older now, and he's like...
Dad needs his shirt back for a wedding. Yeah, as long as he didn't take his jacket off, it was fine.
Yeah. Dad, I'm losing my hat, I need a hat. Dad, I don't need a bloody hat. Pop my pants on, Fed.
But then, you've got to make sure you try and get a job, and school was sort of saying...
So 15 now.
Hang on, why did Twiggies, why did you stop going down Twiggies?
Well, it was shut, wasn't it?
Amazing.
Oh, it closed down?
It closed down, it had a load of toilet rolls in there, it'd been turned into like a storage unit. I've never really had like a dream, I've just bumbled along. Mm. Because, like I've said, it's
bumbled.
That it's that thing of
clackered,
sort of
limsy. It's like, call my fucking bluff.
There's no point sort of wishing for too much, because if you don't get it, you'll be fed up. So it's better just to sort of go, well, let's see what's around the corner. This is what I've said to you about a sat-nav system.
Right.
It's the same thing. Mm. Yeah, sure, I have the sat-nav. Type in where you want to go, and it'll take you straight there. Mm. But what I say is, use the back streets.
Mm.
Have a look around, turn off, don't go straight ahead, turn right, the little dead ends.
Yeah,
have a look.
Well, you might get mugged.
Have a look.
Don't go down the dead ends.
Why not?
You've got a reverse back
there's nothing there, dead end.
No, but have a look.
Well, there's nothing there, it's dead end.
Well, what's the road doing there then?
Well, it's a dead end. It's
yeah, but there must be something down there.
There's nothing, it's just ends.
Just a wall.
Right, so it's not a problem, reverse.
Well, don't go down in the first place if you know it's a dead end. Don't tell people to go down the dead end, they've got to reverse out. Difficult.
Well, I'd say just have a look, you see, that's the difference between me and you. Right. I'd have a look down the dead
it's
end.
It's dead end, no, don't worry, it's
what's
dead end.
What's down there?
Dead nothing, mate, dead end.
Rubbish?
Just yeah, no,
rubbish.
Nothing. Dead
nothing
end.
At all?
Yeah, no, put your hand there, dead end.
Right, so I'll go, well, I'll just have a look for myself, because I don't believe you.
Okay, well, go on then.
Right, I'll have a look. Yeah, oh, look at this I've found.
What have you found?
Box of money that you didn't know about. All I'm saying is it could be
he has still got the brain of a 10-year-old, hasn't he?
Box of money.
He's still got the brain of a 10-year-old.
I'm just, set your stall out.
Right. So where's the stall? Where are you sitting the stall? Not in the
dead end, because there's no
there's
food traffic.
Thoroughfare, yeah. You want to be on
this
a sort of public highway. Where are you sitting the stall out? What are you selling? What are you selling?
Well, this is what I'm saying to you.
What are you selling
I'm
first?
Selling a mixture of stuff.
What? Like what?
All sorts.
What have you bought it with? A bag of money you found in the dead end?
Leg warmers.
Right, you got new leg warmers with, do you want cufflinks for them? What? Do you want cufflinks for them leg warmers? Well, now, why would I do that? Well, you got to fucking look smart, ain't you, you cunt?
So you're selling, what are you selling?
You set your stall out.
Yeah.
Right.
Now,
yes.
Isn't it dangerous to sell all the same product in that shop?
Right.
Okay, where's the analogy going? This is a metaphor.
Yeah. What are you selling first? Bang.
No,
two, three, on. Four.
No, but
quick,
this is what I'm saying to you. This is what I'm saying to you, though. I just said to you.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you wanted to do. You haven't told me.
Right.
I'm saying.
Do you want me to tell you what I wanted to be when I wanted to be. At 5 years old, I wanted to own a sweet shop until my mum said, you know, you got to buy the sweets first. Right, from 10, I wanted to be like a scientist. 15, a vet kicked in.
But at some point, you jettisoned all of that to try and pursue a pop career.
20, I wanted to be a pop star. 25, I thought I'd better get a job.
Well,
at 30, I did.
Me saying turn off the main road and do a right.
Yes.
Is saying just have a look around in the same way that if you go into a shop.
It was a metaphor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
In the same way that if you go into a shop, you're thinking I'm getting a quarter of bonbons.
Right, bonbons. Bum bums.
Well, by the time you get to the counter...
You're clackered.
And you get some licorice all sorts instead because you thought, actually, I forgot about them.
Sorry, now this isn't a metaphor, is it? This is a real shop now, isn't it?
I just mean you're gonna be let down. You're gonna be very, very disappointed with life. If, you know...
If what?
The thing you're aiming for doesn't happen.
But what if it does happen? I'd like to take issue with this, because there's a lot of young people who listen to our podcasts, and if they listen to you this tripe, that if you try for something in life, it won't happen, so don't bother, I think it's a bloody disgrace.
No.
Imagine if Leona Lewis had thought that when she went on the bloody X Factor. She wouldn't have got punched by that bloke in that... Well, that doesn't make sense. But you know what I mean? She would not be living her dreams.
Yeah, but we don't know what Leona wanted to do. She might
have
had a backup plan.
She wanted to be a singer, that's why she's done it!
She might have had a backup plan.
Yeah, but she fulfilled the main ambition, which was to sing. That's why she went on the show. She didn't go on there because she thought, I might want to work down a branch of Waterstones.
You think she went in there and said, quarter bomb bombs? She's like, oh, this is X Factor. But she went, oh, go on then.
Well, I was saying.
Well, what about the girl who looked like a fat baby? She went on there with a dream. It's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah!
But the point is, I'm not saying you all have to go on the X Factor if you're a hopeless idiot. I'm saying if you've got a little bit of talent and you pursue it, it might take you somewhere. If you want to be a vet or a doctor or pop star, you might have a chance. You may as well have a stab for it than say, oh, it's all right, I'll just sit around in my underpants.
Yeah, they're doing a new one, the X-ray factor, where you can actually, you know, become a top radiologist.
But I've said this for an idea. I think they should do that. Because how many singers do we need in the world? You see, that's the thing. We're talking about the future.
Yeah.
I think we're not going to talk anymore. I think we're it's going to be like living in an opera. The way things are going on now, everyone wants to sing.
Yeah.
Whereas, if you did a TV programme to try and get a doctor, you know,
X-ray factor.
You know, it's all about, you know, getting in young kids, do live surgery. You know, there's big queues anyway. People are queuing up to have operations done.
Yeah.
So you say, look, Hilda, you have got a problem with your left bunion. You can either wait for your proper doctor and hospital, but it's going to be a 2-year waiting list.
Or you can have Jedward do it for
you. Are you free Saturday night, live?
Because we've got 2 17-year-olds who are going to do it.
Hilda! She comes out.
He's a little voice. I've never heard him do a little voice before.
So I'm going, wait.
So this is, what is this? This is a talent show where people can have a go at being a doctor.
Yeah. Right? Well, this is like something from the Middle Ages.
But they need volunteers who would rather have an apprentice, someone have a go.
Well, it's not even an apprentice, it's someone with no training at all.
Yeah.
They learn how to do major operations in a week.
But no, not major ones, that's for the final.
Transplant for the final.
So anyway, so it's Hilda, and Hilda's not the person, she's not operating, she's just the person who needs a bunion.
She's the foot problem, yeah.
So she comes in, they have a quick chat with her.
Have a chat with her, how's your life been? Bit of Coldplay under her. She's going, oh, it's terrible, I can hardly walk and all that, and they go, right.
Here's a fowl who looks like a baby.
And then...
And you think this is a good... You don't see any problems with this so far? You've not identified any concerns yet?
If it means you get younger people into other jobs other than singing.
Mm. I agree with you. I think it's crazy that everyone now just wants to be a singer or something, and we don't need them. They're just contriving it. All they're doing is knocking the last one off the top number one spot. It's just a factory.
But I'm not talking about everyone should try and be a singer, am I? What I'm saying is, sometimes you're allowed to pursue your dreams, and you may fulfil those dreams. There's nothing wrong with that. It may be that you want to operate on a woman called Hilda or a bunion. Pursue that dream. But according to your negative views, we shouldn't even try and do that either.
What I'm saying is...
Go on. What's he saying?
Leona was an example. I'm not saying everyone should try and be like Leona.
No, but listen
to his point, Stephen, because he's got a very good point coming up.
Here it comes. This is it.
Okay. He hasn't said a normal word yet, but he's going to say some now, and they're all going to be profound.
People's dreams aren't their own dreams.
Oh, hold on. What do you mean by that?
Okay, keep going. No. He'll explain. You don't need to ask any questions. He'll explain.
Because they think they know what they want, because they see it on the telly. Mm. They see, you know, someone singing a song and they go, I want to do that.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, change the dreams.
Mm.
Change the dreams.
Yeah.
Surgery. They're watching that. They're seeing Hilda happy with a better foot. The doctor's getting all the praise. They go, I want a bit of that action. That's what it's about. They don't want to be singers.
Mm.
They want to be known. They want to be famous.
Yeah.
So, fine. Have a bit of fame, but do some good. Fix Hilda's foot.
Sorry, was that the end of the point?
Yeah, because all we've done, we've changed the dreams. Dreams are...
Well, you've hit on a good point there, because what is astounding is that when you know, people are inundated with praise for people who are just clothes horses. They are just skinny nobodies who don't do anything except have their picture taken, and they're role models for, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, anyone in particular, but it's just these people who, you know, want to be seen with other celebrities and marry celebrities and be a celebrity. People think that's an easy life because they're getting rewarded for it. And yet, someone who's stuck in a laboratory trying to come up with a cure for AIDS, they don't know or care about them. And...
Okay. Can I just point out, though, that if we're going to have a go at people being successful, making money and being well-known for doing nothing of any value, I point you to the man sat opposite me here.
And that's, hey, I tell you, there's times when I, you know, lie awake at night thinking, what was my dreams?
Yeah, but
I'd love to be a little
but
doctor.
I've got a new boy here.
Hold on.
And two houses.
I'd love to be a little doctor.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, it's past me now. There's no way I can go back.
Well.
But it would have been brilliant.
You're wrong. Carl Pilkington!
Hilda!
What is it? What now, Hilda, what's up with you? I've got terrible piles. It's just there's some sort of blockage up there. I haven't gone to the toilet for a week. Well, Carl, can you unblock Hilda's arse?
Now live, unblocking Hilda's arse. Carl Pilkington!
I thought she had bad feet.
No, her feet were, no. Jedward fixed her feet. There's a lovely job, that's why they stayed in last week. Her arse is worse than her feet. It's because she's been off her feet for so long, because she couldn't walk. Her arse took the brunt of it, and it's just terrible. Piles have burst, and it's blocked up there, where all she just eats is cheese because she's so depressed.
I'd probably knock it on the head there. I'd just say, like going back to the street thing, I've gone down the wrong avenue.
Right.
I go, this isn't for me, I didn't know I'd be, you know, eye to eye with this.
What's up?
It's not for me, and that's how you find out that it's not for you, by doing it.
Right.
But at least I gave it a go.
So this the same as you had one fight with Leroy, you went along to a dance studio, it was shut, you've seen Hilda's arse, and it's turned you off proctology.
Once again, you've just abandoned it.
Yeah, well, that's... There's
have
no
a
point.
Go! Have a go! Just feel inside Hilda's back passage. Feel the blockage. Right.
No, because the audience have already decided. They've seen a weakness in me. They're going to vote me out.
No,
there's no point me getting dirty fingers for this.
Well, that's about it for the Ricky Gervais Guide to the Future. The next audiobook in this series is the Ricky Gervais Guide to the Human Body. Look forward to that.
Will do.
It's goodbye from me, Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant.
Goodbye.
And the little round-headed shaven chimp that is forever Carl Pilkington.
All right.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.